Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, January 16th, 2026. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with a public service journalism report, Cracks in the System. Suicidal woman sent to solitary confinement in jail despite warnings advising against it. Despite repeated warnings from medical professionals, staff at the Sangamon County Jail placed 27-year-old Tiffany Rusher, who had a long documented history of suicide attempts and self-harm, in an isolated cell for nearly 4 months, a lawsuit and jail records show. In March 2017, she was found dead with a strip of hand towel wrapped tightly around her neck, according to a lawsuit filed by her family. Doctors had advised jail staff that Rusher should not be held in solitary confinement, noting her dozens of prior attempts to harm herself and her high risk of suicide. Rusher's mother, Kelly Andrews, later sued Sangamon County and Advanced Correctional Healthcare, alleging that despite knowing Rusher had attempted to kill herself at least 10 times and had injured herself in 27 other incidents, including swallowing pens, toothbrushes, and other inedible objects similar to the cloth available to her in jail, officials still housed her in conditions medical staff had explicitly warned against. Michael Schmickler, a social worker for ACH, described Tiffany as high risk due to the known danger that she presented to herself, according to the lawsuit. The defendants also knew, or at least they should have known, that placing a person with Tiffany's mental state in solitary confinement would only exacerbate her deteriorated mental condition, cause severe psychological trauma, and make it more likely that Tiffany would try to kill herself, the complaint read. The defendants would admit that Rusher was reported to suffer from mental illnesses and was documented to engage in self-harm. However, they would deny that all of her illnesses were known to all defendants, that the referenced illnesses were severe at all times during her incarceration. According to the Illinois Criminal Justice Information Authority's Death in Custody report, at least 112 inmates died between 2019 and 2022 in Illinois County jails. Of those, 24 were reported as suicides. Nationally, between 228 and 369 suicides of local jail detainees were reported annually between 2000 and 2019, according to the Bureau of Justice Statistics. As the number of state-operated treatment centers and beds for inmates with mental health concerns in Illinois dwindle, the pressure falls on county jails and community-based clinics to provide restorative mental health services. Even private mental health care contractors hired to provide medical services to detainees don't always provide mental health professionals. County jail administrators and sheriffs across the state say that handling the needs of people experiencing some of the worst mental health conditions has become a burden too heavy for their staff to carry and for the county to fund on its own. "We are having a mental health crisis," said Rock Island County Sheriff Darren Hart. "It is a challenge to being able to maintain those individuals because we have only a level of care available to us here locally, where the state may have a higher level of care that they can provide," he said. Advanced Correctional Healthcare, ACH, contracts with about half of the county jails in Illinois and nearly 400 facilities across the country. The company often partners with community-based organizations like Freedom Behavioral Health to outsource mental health care. Jessica Young, ACH president and CEO, said some facilities use volunteers because they do not have any funding for a behavioral health program. "Suicide is the number one cause of death in jail, so it is important to have qualified mental health staff to assess and treat detainees in crisis and to determine when to place detainees on suicide precautions or release them from precautions, said Young. The nationwide suicide rate has grown by over 16% in the last year. Coles County Sheriff Kent Martin says the nursing and medical professional shortages make an already difficult situation worse. Coles County also contracts with ACH for medical services and with Freedom Behavioral Health for mental health services. We go through two or three mental health professionals a year, he said. He added that Coles County Jail is better off than most of the agencies in the surrounding area, but that having 24-hour mental health care would be ideal. But as we know, the funding is never there for that, Martin said. Treatment and segregation. Rusher's suicidal behavior while in custody of the Logan County Correctional Facility continued after her committal to McFarland, now known as the Elizabeth Parsons Ware Packard Mental Health Center. She was then transferred to Sangamon County Jail after being charged with aggravated battery. Illinois County Jail standards requires jail officers to provide personal observation of inmates at least every 30 minutes. However, jails may require more frequent checks if it's determined that the patient is at risk to themselves and others. This is a very long article, so bear with me. Dr. Aaron Abraham, a physician at the Sangamon Jail employed by ACH, said during a deposition that under Sangamon County Jail Suicide Prevention Program, a detainee that is identified as trying to harm themselves can be put on high-risk status. Inmates with this designation are observed every 15 minutes and spoken to regularly by mental health staff. Sangamon County inmates designated as mentally unstable are subject to 10-minute checks, whereas inmates designated as suicidal are subject to 10-minute checks or 24-hour continuous observation depending on the circumstances. During her detainment in Sangamon, Rusher was deprived of all property, stripped naked, and barred from having any undergarments or clothing except for an anti-suicidal blanket. Melissa Caldwell, president of Behavioral Health Services for Freedom Behavioral Health, said in a deposition for the Rusher lawsuit that recommendations can be made for an at-risk inmate to not have clothes if they have used clothing to harm themselves. In the month leading up to her death, staff members recorded that Rusher was mentally unstable for 76 days, suicidal for 2 days in February 2017, and had 5 instances of needing medical precautions, such as health screenings, quarantine and isolation for potential or confirmed illnesses, according to court records. In addition, Abraham assessed Rusher as having bipolar disorder and schizoaffective disorder, which were documented in a medical progress note. Alan Mills, executive director of the Uptown People's Law Center, represented Rusher's estate in the case and said mental health care at the time consisted of isolation and medication. And that meant Rusher was heavily medicated for part of the time and that she was isolated all of the time that she was there, Mills said. Isolation is one of those things that is actually a predictor of suicide, and that's true both in the community and in jails, he said. The hope would be that staff should be fixing their procedures as a result of the case, he added. However, there was no requirement to do so in the settlement. Sangamon County Sheriff's Department officials said procedures changed following the incident but declined to comment further about the Rusher case. In some instances, jails rely on the guidelines of the National Commission on Correctional Health Care for the treatment of mentally ill individuals, even if they are not accredited by the agency. According to a position statement adopted by the Commission in 2016, isolation for clinical or therapeutic purposes should be allowed only upon the order of a healthcare professional and for the shortest duration and under the least restrictive conditions possible, and should take place in a clinically designated and supervised area. Caldwell said in her deposition that Rusher's housing conditions were not equivalent to the solitary confinement conditions you would see in prisons, and at times they are necessary to ensure patient safety. If it was to keep her safe and others safe, then I am comfortable with it, Caldwell added in her deposition. It is not optimal, but it is necessary for safety. She added that at an at-risk inmate, separation from the general population does not or should not mean unsupervised isolation. Defendants denied that Rusher was confined under conditions of extreme isolation or that she was in solitary confinement for more than 30 days. It should mean that there's a lot of monitoring and eyes professionally happening with that individual in a safer environment, Caldwell said in her deposition, and it should be time-limited while we're trying to help the individual stabilize. For many jails, housing of mentally unfit inmates depends on the severity of their condition. In Livingston County, jail superintendent Lisa Draper said that if the detainee can be placed in housing safely, staff will try to do that to keep them from being isolated. The jail's job management system typically flags inmates who may pose a suicidal risk. However, if we can't place them on administrative segregation, Draper said, during this time, we still offer recreation and time out of their cell if they choose to do so. Jackie Mathias, director of inmate services for the McLean County Jail, said that there are 16 cells in the McLean County Jail's Special Needs and Behavioral Health Unit, and there is usually a waiting list. In addition to detainees who are unfit to stand trial, the unit also holds people who may be violent or destructive to property on a repeat basis, those waiting to be sent to the behavioral health unit who pose safety threats can be held in the booking area unless they have a serious medical issue, she added. Macon County Jail Superintendent Jamie Belcher said that every correctional officer goes through training to identify individuals who may be experiencing a mental health issue. Officers then go through more extensive mental health training as they achieve their certification. However, counselors are able to offer more effective tools and resources to inmates. When somebody gets here, they kind of start to lose hope, he said. There's a lot of anxiety that comes with that. The counselor does a good job of dealing with those folks and helping them with coping mechanisms and journaling. Although mental health and suicide prevention training is required for correctional officers, many jails are still unequipped to handle the needs of inmates who are unfit to stand trial, and the wait to transfer these inmates to mental health facilities can take much longer than the 60-day deadline imposed by the state. In 2022, Kayla Evans, a 24-year-old woman with an intellectual disability and a history of mental illness, had been in the Lake County custody for 170 days and found unfit to stand trial for 67 days before she was found unresponsive in her cell. At the time of her booking for aggravated battery in June of 2022, jail staff and members of WellPath, Lake County Jail's medical provider, had knowledge that Evans was on multiple medications for ADHD and intermittent explosive disorder. They were also aware that Evans's disability made it difficult for her to advocate for her own care. According to lawsuits filed by her family, the months leading up to her death consisted of multiple psychiatric episodes with self-harm, severe abdominal pain, refusing meals for consecutive days, and leg numbness that left her unable to use the toilet on her own. According to an affidavit from a physician with 40 years of experience in emergency medicine, the defendant's failure to assess Evans's condition order appropriate diagnostic testing and imaging, and adequately treat her condition, contributed to a delay in her diagnosis and treatment, resulting in her untimely death. Christopher Covelli, public information officer for the Lake County Sheriff's Office, said he could not comment specifically about Evan's passing. The defendants have either denied the allegations or stated that they don't have enough knowledge or information sufficient to form a belief, according to the suit. The Illinois Department of Human Services reported 151 individuals unfit to stand trial or not guilty by reason of insanity awaiting beds at mental health facilities as of September 2025. At that time, the average wait time to transfer one of these at-risk detainees to a state-operated mental health facility was 74 days. The number of referrals IDHS receives monthly has more than doubled since early 2020, said Rachel Otwell, DHS Director of Communications. In the wake of this unprecedented increase in the number of referrals since the COVID-19 pandemic began, IDHS is building forensic capacity at our hospitals. Woodford County Chief Deputy Dennis Tipsword, Republican from Metamora, who also represents the 105th Illinois House District, said their jail was not holding any detainees deemed unfit to stand trial or not guilty by reason of insanity at the beginning of 2025. But in 2024, the county was holding two of these detainees, one who was waiting 160 days for a transfer and one who was waiting 140 days. And for a jail with a maximum capacity of 88 and limited mental health resources, these warehoused inmates' mental health often deteriorated to a point worse than when they were first booked. And what typically happens in a situation like that after that much time is mentally ill detainees end up in solitary confinement in one of our medical rooms or in our detox room, Tipsword said. And that is horrible for their mental health to be locked away like that, but we just don't have options. Delayed transfers also add to the daily duties of the jail staff, according to Sangamon County Jail Superintendent Larry Beck. This could include more frequent cleanings of their cells, making sure inmates are bathing, though they may consistently refuse to do so, ensuring they are taking their medications and other modifications that can, in some cases, require 24-hour monitoring. They just really can't function on their own, Beck said. However, suicide watch and other inmate designations don't always mean that an inmate will be isolated or even transferred to a location for specialized care. After months of psychiatric episodes with symptoms ranging from hallucinations to banging her head against the cell door, Evans had been placed on suicide watch in the Lake County Jail, yet she would remain in the general population opposed to a medical unit or a hospital. The next month, Evans' inmate classification was changed to allow closer supervision and the special attention of jail administration due to her risk of self-harm, according to her wrongful death suit. But she would not be transported to a hospital or referred to a physician leading up to this decision. Bed availability. As of last year, IDHS currently operates 6 state hospitals with a total of 822 forensic beds for individuals found unfit to stand trial or not guilty by reasons of insanity. Since 2021, more than 200 forensic beds have been added across the state, she added. IDHS is also in the process of rehabilitating the Alton Mental Health Center's Willow Building, which would expand forensic service capacity by 100 beds. This $27.9 million capital investment is expected to be completed in 2026. The department also contracts with private psychiatric hospitals to provide additional capacity when clinically appropriate, Otwell said. Scott Block, statewide behavioral health administrator of the Administrative Office of Illinois Courts, said that when there is a lack of community-based treatment, the thought is that any avenue to get someone treatment will improve outcomes. What people don't understand is competency restoration services are not the same as what you would expect in psychiatric or mental health care, Block said. Mental competency restoration services are really meant to restore somebody to a state to where they're able to stay on trial and to litigate and then adjudicate the case. Beck said that once inmates become a ward of the state, IDHS's mental health facilities have the ability to force medication. And when that happens, it doesn't take long for these individuals to be restored to a better mental state. Then what happens after that is when IDHS declares that inmates are fit. They send them back to me, Beck said. In a week, some of them will immediately become noncompliant with meds again, and it doesn't take long for them to deteriorate, he said. Although McLean County Jail has mental health resources that have managed to restore at least 11 detainees to competency without DHS referral in the last 3 years, administering treatment is a difficult process. And then, even if you come here, it's not like we can force medications or we can force treatment on you, Mathias said. Hart said Rock Island County has been lucky to have a partnership with the Robert Young Center, which has provided mental health caseworkers and providers that manage the caseload of the jail. It helps identify individuals that need additional care, said Hart, adding that he believes the services offered through the Robert Young Center have played a significant role in decreasing the number of instances of self-harm and suicides. The county's 708 Mental Health Board was established in 1976 through the Illinois House Bill 708, which enables the county to collect and allocate revenue for mental health, substance abuse, and developmental disability services. The board funds around $200,000 to $250,000 worth of mental health services, eliminating that cost for the county. We're thankful that we received the resources to be able to do that, Hart said, because if not, that would add another cost on top of operating the Rock Island County Jail. If you or someone you know is struggling with thoughts of suicide, you can call or text 988 to reach the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline for free. Confidential help is 24/7. Again, that number is to call or text is 988. And help is available 24 hours, 7 days a week. By the numbers, 24 deaths reported as suicides in Illinois County jails between 2019 and 2022, according to the Illinois Criminal Justice Information Authority's Death in Custody Report. 151 number of individuals reported unfit to stand trial or not guilty by reason of insanity who were awaiting beds at mental health facilities as of September 2025, according to the Illinois Department of Human Services. 822 total number of forensic beds the Illinois Department of Human Services has for individuals found unfit to stand trial or not guilty by reason of insanity. 74 average number of days an at-risk detainee had to wait before they could be transferred to a state-operated mental health facility as of September 2025. $27.9 million is the amount of money the Illinois Department of Human Services is using to rehabilitate the Alton Mental Health Center's Willow Building, which is expected to be completed sometime this year, 2026. And the photos on page A5 show Jackie Mathias, Director of Inmate Services and Behavioral Health at McLean County Jail, discussing jail programs. And then another photo shows Woodford County Sheriff, Deputy Sheriff Dennis Tipsword, showing holding cells at the Woodford County Jail on January 24th, 2025. And it's a bleak gray hallway with heavy gray doors. And then there's a photo of Mr. Tipsword. Another photo on page A4 shows a Woodford County deputy showing a protective vest used for at-risk detainees on January 24th last year at the Woodford County Jail. And it's a heavy quilted long vest with Velcro strips on it for them to put over an inmate who's suspected of doing self-harm. And the deputy is standing in the doorway holding the vest. On this page also, Kayla Evans's timeline in custody of Lake County Jail from June 30th to December 16th, 2022. June 30th, Evans arrested and placed in the custody of Lake County Jail. July 1st, Evans started feeling effects of missing doses of prescription medications for ADHD and intermittent explosive disorder. WellPath and jail staff alleged to have altered the pharmacological regimen to Evans during her custody. July 4th, Evans suffers a psychotic episode where she throws a chair and says she needs to be transferred to a mental hospital or she'll be leaving in a body bag. Leaving in a body bag is in quotes. July 19th through the 13th, Evans reported severe stomach pain and anxiety to staff. August 12th, Evans suffers psychiatric episode where she was in and out of psychosis, hallucinations, and bouts of banging her head against her cell door. August 14th, staff were made aware that Evans was not eating and refused four meals. August 26th, Evans suffers psychiatric episode where she exhibits bizarre behavior. September 7th, Evans suffers psychiatric episode where she was banging her head against the cell window and scratching her arms, claiming there were bugs on her. September 12th, Evans suffers psychiatric episode and screams for help to staff. September 23rd, Evans falls from her cell. No physician was contacted and Evans was not transported to a hospital. September 25th through the 30th, Evans continues to refuse meals but is not appropriately assessed by any medical provider. October 11th, Evans declared unfit to stand trial. October 25th, Evans reportedly refused meals for 3 days straight. October 30th, Evans' classification changed for closer supervision due to risk of self-harm. November 12th, Evans suffers psychiatric episode where she was banging on her cell door. November 16th and 17th, Evans falls in her cell twice. No physician is contacted and Evans is not transported to a hospital. November 20th, Evans reports that she can't move her legs. November 22nd and 23rd, Evans reportedly has not eaten for days and reports she can't stand. November 23rd, 4th, into December. I don't have time to read all of this. December 16th, Evans found unresponsive in jail cell, having suffered from fatal cardiac arrest. That's all we have time for the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, January 16th, 2026. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.